We're going to go to probably a very familiar story, the book of Genesis. Okay, I'll try to stay alive. Turn with me to Genesis 15. We're going to start with Abram and see what the Lord did, and starting at, we go 15, 1 through 6, but, and you got to remember that somebody has said, you know, well, Abram or Abraham was a Jew. No, he wasn't. He was a Syrian. There were no Jews. He was the first Jew. The first circumcised. There was, the Lord said, get up and get out of this land, go someplace else. Where am I going to go? I'll tell you when you get there. How many of us would do that? But listen to what he says here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. I am that which covers or surrounds you. We have to realize that we're encompassed with his presence. Jumping way ahead, but Galatians tells us that we are Abraham's seed by faith, through faith. And therefore heirs according to the promise. So whatever he promised Abraham is promised to us. Okay? So let's continue here. I'm going to be your exceeding great reward. He didn't say, I'm going to let you eke through life. You're just barely going to do it. But it is according to your faith, be it unto you. We don't always like that principle, but that's the way it is. Let's continue here. Verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what shall you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. The ruling or what was going on here was when a master or a landowner or a man of great wealth, if he died childless, then his chief steward would become his heir, that all the inheritance would pass over to this Eliezer. And God had promised Abram great things. And Abram means exalted father. And he says, you're going to be my reward, but the important thing is that who are you going to give it to? Who's going to carry on the family name? And who's going to carry on the family tradition, if you will? And as we get more mature, and we see our children, our grandchildren, and so forth, and we become more aware of of that necessity and the honor that is to have our lineage go on, and to whatever our part of repopulating the earth is. And, you know, we started out as 2, and now we are 15 with grandchildren and so forth and so on. And it just, you know, it seems amazing that multiplication, and we're probably, as Glidel said, we're probably not done yet. So, and then the other thing is I've got a granddaughter who will soon be 22, I'm not old enough to have that. Glidel is, but I'm not old enough to have a granddaughter of 22. But there is someplace along the line where she'll get married and still start having great-grandchildren. And that makes me feel old just to say that. But anyway, I said, what are you going to give me, God? I don't have any, I go childless. And there was a law of the land called Hammurabi's Code, which said that if the master dies, his chief steward becomes his heir. And God said to him, this steward will not be your heir. I have different plans. The natural situation, what it looked like was going to happen, was that, because when he's saying this to him, Abraham's around 75 years old, you know, and he's about 85 and Sarah is 75. And so the bloom has kind of been off the rose for a while, and so there wasn't likelihood in the natural that this could happen. And so, you know, being the pragmatist that he was, he said, well, how is this going to happen? But then he believed God, verse 6 says, and it means that he stood firm. He trusted. He was certain in the Lord, and it was counted on him as righteousness. How certain are you with the word of the Lord in your life, or with this word? And I, you know, we've all heard it and said, you know, well, he said it, I believe it, therefore it's so. No, he said it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's just so. If he said it, it's going to happen. And the reality is, you believing it only makes it effectual in your life. It will happen. But it's according to our faith whether it happens in our life or not. Okay? His word is accomplished. His word is settled. It says, just as the morning and the night season happened, my word will not return void. It will accomplish what I have sent it to do. What I've sent it forth to do is going to do. And no one can stop it except us. We can stop it happening in our life through unbelief. A whole nation did not enter in, a whole generation did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. It took another 40 years, and for that, in that 40 years, that whole generation died off. And the brand new generation went in. So it can. We're the key to whether God's word works in us or not, if we believe him. Romans 4:21, this says quickly here, but being fully persuaded that he that had promised was able to perform, or also to perform, and therefore he was imputed to him for righteousness. Are we fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able also to perform in our lives? Don't answer too quickly. Because he said, yeah, I am. Okay. God did. He said that King James uses the word tempted. So the Lord tempted Israel, and the Lord tempted Abraham. And it's the word, we have a bad connotation to that word tempted, because it has a connotation of being with evil. what actually the word is proved. What he was doing, he was proving them to see if they would remain faithful to him, or proving them to show them a greater facet of himself. And, you know, just very simply, our granddaughter Danielle, she experienced God's healing power. Now, no one can talk her out of the fact that God is her healer. Okay? She's got it pasted on her Facebook and all over. It says, healed. And the date. And on a necklace. Healed. My healer. Not just a healer. My healer. What mind do you have of him? Can you hear what I'm saying? What part of him is yours? What part of him has been made real to you so you can say, he's my Savior, he's my healer, he's my, you fill in the blank. Because of the fact that you're firm, you're certain, you stand upon that. Because he has done that. The reality is he wants to increase our foundation and our certainty and our confidence in him. Let's continue on. Chapter 16. Verse 1 and 2 to begin with. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And means stranger or sojourner. Verse 2, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. It says, and Sarai said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me. King James is restrained. He has prevented me from having children. Here's her solution. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed with Sarah's idea. Well, you know the story. Like I said, Abraham is about 85, Sarah's 75 about this time. And but they had the promise, it said, this Eliezer won't be your heir. I'm going to give you an heir. But just like, you know, we look at Sarah and say, she should have known. But how much are we like Sarai? And said, well, the Lord didn't explicitly say I was going to have the child. They said you were going to have one. So how about we do this? How about you go into Hagar and take her as wife and we'll have a child. And what got me was the following verses says, and the child shall be mine. Ain't going to happen. Unless you birth that. And especially if the mother is there, the child is going to be that mother's child. No matter how much. Well, let me give you little Micah. He's, like I said, 7 months old. And I think his diapers are full of rocks because the kid is heavy. Charlotte got on the scales the other day, then I gave her Micah and Wade, and he's 20 pounds. I go, my Lord! God is good. But let me just say it this way. We may be holding him, and if Charlotte walks in the room, his attention goes from us smiling and grinning at us to, there's mommy. Or if Josh walks in the room, forget Charlotte, forget grandpa, granny, there's daddy. Okay? There's a connection. And the child will be mine. No, he won't. But let's do it this way. Let's help God out. Don't show me hands, but how many of you have ever tried to help God out? Because the situation in the natural was impossible. And we start scheming, we start, well, if we do this and that, and maybe, you know, we can trim this back here and take, rob Peter to pay Paul, sort of, and, you know, just let's, whatever. And our great ingenuity and great capacity for logically thinking about things, it doesn't really register with us that God will do something that's beyond our logic. Actually, we're probably not comfortable with that, if all things were true. If we're honest, we like to be able to be in control. That wonderful word, control. And it's very unsettling for someone else to be in control. Let me just ask you a question. Who would you rather be driving, you or your husband or your wife? Karen Joy. What is that? Doesn't that surprise me? Do we have control issues? Oh, no. Yeah, you do. I'll get off that since I'm preaching so good. I'll just get off that. Down in verse 10, Hagar has the child. Or before she has the child, excuse me, in verse 10, when Sarai saw that Hagar had was become pregnant, she started really, and that Hagar despised Sarai in her eyes because, see, in back that society, to be childless was a great reproach, and the ill-gotten, contrived theology behind it was that God is with, and Sarah said herself, God is preventing me. That means there's something wrong with me. There's sin in my life, or that's why some Pentecostals say, if you're sick, you've been sinning. Give me a break. Yes, sin can bring sickness on, but it's not automatic. It's judgmental. It's a bony Pharisaical finger pointing at you. And God likes to break those. Oh, I mean, sorry. Anyway, he says down in 10, so she ran from Sarai. And the Lord comes to her. The angel of the Lord comes to her. In verse 10, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and that it shall be not numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. And it's interesting. Ishmael means God will hear. God will hear. Because the Lord has heard of thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. Now, isn't that a good prophetic word for your child or your firstborn son? He's going to be a wild man. Thus saith the Lord. And that'd be one of the things to say, well, can we change that, Lord? Can I have a second opinion? And his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Verse 13, and she called the name on the Lord and spake unto him, and her said, Thou God seest me. For she had said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. And then down in verse 15, it said that Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. 86 years old. Then the next verse, in chapter 17, says, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou without blemish, upright, complete, having integrity. Having integrity. If there's any place there should be integrity, it's in the house of the Lord and in the people of the Lord. You want to set yourself apart from all the other people that's working in the company? Be a person of integrity. That will set you out before anything else. Do what you say. Be there on time. Give them that full 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, whatever the case may be. Go up above and beyond what they ask for. And then leave the rest of it up to God. Promotion comes from the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. When Abram was 99 years old, he appeared, and I am the Almighty. Walk, the Amplified says, habitually before me and be perfect. Not occasionally. Habitually. Brother, I was talking about taking the presence of the Lord with you. That's a New Testament concept, because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon people and they'd prophesy or whatever God was directing them to do. He said that the Spirit that has been with you shall now be in you. That's in red. That's what Jesus said. Went right past some of you. You know, the stuff that Jesus says is written in red on some Bibles. So that part's written in red. So you know he said it, and so you know it's gospel because it's written in red. So the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us. We don't... bless our hearts. We don't have to wait for the anointing to come. We are the anointing. Or should be. That's why it's so important to spend time with him. So you stay anointed. And so you have something to give to the hungry. You have ability then to walk in integrity, not in your own strength. Blessed be his holy name. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Drop down to verse 9. Now, for time's sake, I'll just kind of paraphrase some of this. In the preceding verses, God talked to Abram and said, I'm going to give you a new name. It's going to be a name change here. From Abram to Abraham. father of nations or a multitude. And with a name change, there's also a nature change that comes. That's why when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you haven't, his name is invoked upon you. There is to be a nature change. And your nature will change as you yield to the Spirit of God within you and crucify the flesh that wants to go against the Spirit. I don't feel like it. So what? I don't feel led. Well, get in his presence and get led. And I'm not talking about the periodic table lead that weighs you down. You're not to have lead in you, you're supposed to have gold. Let me continue on here. Down in verse 9. And God said unto Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, and I will, and thou and thy seed after thee, and thy generations, and you and thy seed after thee, every man among you shall be circumcised. And it goes on and says that you're going to circumcise every male child. On the eighth day, you'll circumcise him. Now, probably I've told you this before, but just to remind you, it was explicitly said the eighth day. Now, there wasn't any physiology that knew anything about this, but on the eighth day, it's not only is it important because it's the number eight, means new beginning, but on the eighth day, there's a vitamin that kicks in called vitamin K. It's not there at birth. Vitamin K is the blood clotting vitamin. That's why when they circumcise a child at the hospital, they give him a shot of vitamin K. Who knew? God knew. See, he doesn't do anything. Nothing is ever done at happenstance or just by accident. There's nothing done in God that is not planned. You are not an accident. You are not just so happened. You were purposed and planned from before the foundation of the world. He said, let there be, put your name there. Well, we are purposed, we are planned, we are brought forth. He said, the sign of the covenant between us is going to be the circumcision, the physical circumcision of the males. And he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to change Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess. And so, let's drop down here a little bit for time's sake. And when Sarah heard this, I think down in 17, when Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and Sarah laughed, and on the impossibility of this. See, now, it was 13 years. If you notice, Ishmael was born, he was 86. And when he was 99 years old, 13 years later, there's no record of God speaking to Abram for 13 years. By the way, 13 is a number of rebellion. I thought Abraham was the father of faith. That's why he didn't speak to him for 13 years. You did your own thing. You tried to help me out, and I didn't need any help. So now, walk on your own for 13 years. Well, and we think, well, I can pick and choose what I want to believe with God. Go ahead. It may be 13 years before He speaks to you again. Well, I don't want to take that chance. And then so when he was 99 and Sarah was 89, and it made it even more impossible for God's word to be fulfilled, God said, now I'm going to do it. Because now you can't do it, so it's going to have to be me. See, as long as we think we can do it, what are we going to do? Try to do it. Until we learn better. Amen, Brother Chuck. Thank you. And so, in verse 18, as Abraham said unto God, listen to this. He just said, I'm going to give you a son. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And actually, one translation says, live in your presence. Oh, that Ishmael would live in your presence. But listen to what he says. And the Lord said unto Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, which means laughter. And I will establish, listen, my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time next year. This is going to happen on the date I say it's going to happen. One translation says that at this time next year. Just to prove to Abraham that he was in control. It wasn't just going to happen, he said, at this time next year. He laid it out specifically. Blessed be his name. But then he went ahead and said, circumcise your whole family. All the servants, all the ones you've bought and so forth, every male, circumcise. Down in the last couple of verses here, verse 26, it says, in the self same day, Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money, and of strangers were circumcised with him. God gave him a direct command, and he did not delay. When God tells you to do something, don't put it off. Part of, this is an aside, part of the, there were 3 different kinds of peace offerings in the Old Testament. One of them was a vow offering. And the peace offering was the only offering where God received something, the priest received something, and the offerer received something. Okay? And they could partake of that, of a vow offering the first day and the second day. But the third day, if they partook of it, they were to be cut off from the congregation. After 2 days, anything left over was to be burned. So when you make a vow, don't linger. Don't hesitate. I'll do that next year. Even if you do it next year, it won't be fulfilling your vow. You'll do it without Him. Blessed be His holy name. The self same day. There should be no delay in obedience. No delay. Romans 4:11 tells us, He had received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which was yet being uncircumcised, that He might be the father of all them that believe. Should they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed also to them also. I love the fact that God knew what He was going to do. And He took this man that did not bear any difference from anybody else and set a difference in him. See, he called him and brought him out when he was uncircumcised. He was an idolater. He was an idolater. Abram was not a religious man before God showed up. Let me be very prophetic here. You weren't a religious person before God showed up, and I hope you're not religious now. I want you to be spiritual, not religious. There is a huge difference. Oh, that Ishmael would live in your presence. Abraham hadn't quite gotten it yet. Said, I'm not going to make covenant with that which was produced by the flesh. I will only make covenant with that which was made by my command. You can be born of the seed of God, and that's what 1 Peter tells us, 1:23, it talks about born of incorruptible seed, the word of life, and be part of the household of God without being in covenant relationship with Him. We have a whole religious world that is saved, and they're, I'm saved and ready to go to heaven. No, you're not. Well, you may be saved unto eternal life, but you haven't been changed. Because as long as... See, that's why Paul was talking to the church of Corinth. He says, and gave him a whole list of things and said that you're carnal. You can be saved and still driven by the flesh. Carnal. Getting mad at somebody or them do you wrong and holding unforgiveness against them. But I'm saved. Well, there's this nasty verse in Matthew 5. Part of the disciples' prayer. Wrongfully said the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. But it says, and I will forgive you as you forgive others. Oops. So go ahead. Hang on to your bitterness, your unforgiveness, and so forth. And God won't forgive you. Well, my God's a forgiving God. Yeah, but He has stipulations. See, holding unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hope the other person dies. Doesn't faze them at all, but it eats you alive. It taints everything you touch and everything that comes through you. made you happy again. That's okay. Without a covenant relationship, or and that obedience to the Son, without that covenant relationship, we may be in the household, but we will not walk into what He's called us to be, His sons and daughters. The overcoming. Because we can't overcome our emotions, so how can we be overcomers? Ishmael had the right daddy. He just didn't have the right relationship with his daddy. Jesus can be our Savior, but if we just leave Him at being our Savior and are satisfied with just our sins being forgiven and still walking around with the old nature in our lives. And let me break this to you. You can be baptized in water and still allow the old nature to rule and reign in your life. You just get wet. Paul said, and we don't like this verse, I die daily. What does he mean? That my aches and pains are getting worse? And no, he says, my desire, my purposing. He finally came to the place, said, I no longer live, or for me to live is Christ. We've got to get to the point where, how do I feel about this? No, Lord, how do you feel about this? I mean, I have to cease to exist? Yes. Well, I like me. That's the problem. We all like us. That's why we spend so much money keeping us looking good. And going to the gym. I'll leave that alone. You're not married for almost 44 years without learning a little something. Some things you leave alone. I think I ruined this chapter. Let's go to 18. Starting at verse 9. Genesis 18:9. And in the first part of this chapter, Abraham is visited by angels of the Lord. And they said, verse 9 says, where's Sarah, your wife? Said, she's in the tent. God emphasizes it again. It says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent on door, which she was behind him. Said, I'll return to that. I will invigorate her. I will cause her to have the capability to bear a child. And oh, by the way, Abraham, you too. See, 86, he was still able to do that. Or 85, he was still able to do that. Let's continue here. Verse 11, now the Word of God just makes sure you don't have any misgivings here. It says, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore Sarah laughed incredulously and said, how can this be? Have you ever come to a point where God said something that just flew in the face of all of your logic and just say, how can that happen? Well, the reality is, verse 14, it says, Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Very explicit. Left nothing to question. Nothing. This is going to happen. Enjoy. Well, drop down to verse 19. And you know, because these angels are on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, shall I hide anything from him? In verse 17. But I love verse 19. For I know him. The Rotherham says this. For I have become his intimate friend. I want to be God's intimate friend. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord, or the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. He said, I know him. I'm familiar with him. We have built this relationship, and I know he will do. From this point on, now that he's in covenant with me, from this point on, he will pass that on to his children, to his seed, and his seed will pass it on to his seed in continual progression of the things of the Lord. That's my prayer from our family and for yours. That generation after generation, not that they will follow the Lord, but that they will run after him. That all the days of their life, they will be and dwell in the house of the Lord. But a lot of that depends upon you. What atmosphere do you set up in the house? What spiritual atmosphere do you set up in the house? Do they see you spending time with the Lord? Is it natural for them to see you in his presence? Is it natural for them to see you weeping before the Lord, honoring him with your time, your talent, how can I say it, and your money? Now you've done it. I'll grab my idol. Oh, Jesus, help us. Chapter 21. I've only got 3 more pages. I'm good. Starting at verse 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah. He kept his word. God always keeps his word. As he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Can anybody say amen to that? Because he will do what he says. For she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Isaac grew, and he was weaned, and there became contention between Hagar and Ishmael. And when he was weaned, Ishmael was mocking him. And Sarah said, that child, who she said, it's going to be mine, it became that child shall have no inheritance with my son. You know how you mamas can be. Verse 12. And this said that this grieved Abraham. And it said, and the Lord said, so don't let this grieve you. what he was saying there, if I can put my interpretation, is said, Abraham, I've got this in control. It's all right. This is part of my plan. It's hard on you naturally. You love your son, but I've got it under control. And so they sent her away, gave her provisions, so forth, bottled water, so forth, and the water ran out. And it's interesting wording here. It says that she cast the boy under a shrub. Well, this boy was probably about 19 now. He wasn't some little kid. And she walked off and said, "Don't let me see him perish." And listen to me, and listen to what the Lord said in verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of the heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? What is your problem?" See, the situation, what had he told her in, what was it, chapter 16, he says, "I'm going to make him a great nation." What circumstance has worked in your life that has made you forget what God said? Is there anything in your life that has loomed so ominously that we have forgotten what God promised? And dirty little secret is, they weren't covenant, but they were seed. He was Abraham's seed, and he was keeping his promise because of who his daddy was. He said, "Fear not, God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." I take great hope in that. I take hope in that for some that have wandered from him, that maybe have been thrown under a bush someplace, and God hears them where they are. As long as there's breath, there is hope. Don't give up on some of your family members that seem to be running everywhere but to God. And don't be an amateur providence when God puts pressure on them to relieve the pressure, because that very pressure might be what leads them to cry out, and so he can hear them where they are. Hallelujah. He will hear them because of your relationship, not because of their. His purpose is to bring them into relationship, but they don't have to be in relationship for God to hear, because you intercede for them. Can anybody hear me this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's continue on here. Chapter 22. Love this chapter. And it came to pass, starting in verse 1, after these things, that God tempted Elohim, proved Abraham. The God of all creation, Elohim, where it says in Genesis 1, and God created. The word there is plural, it's Elohim. All of God created. Every aspect of God created. and the one who's speaking to him, one who is proving him, because Elohim is the God of creation and his relationship to his creation. Oh God. Tempted, proved Abraham and said unto him, Behold, he said unto him, and said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take thy son. What does it say in your word? Your only son. But he had another son. You're not hearing me. He only recognizes that which is birthed through covenant. Your only son. Take him up and offer him up. Make a burnt, not just anything, but a burnt offering, which means you're not going to get anything out of it. It's going to be all to me. Now just think about, and by the way, he did not discuss this with Sarah. We'll just leave that alone. Let you figure out why. Mama wouldn't have been happy with that idea. But don't think Abraham was necessarily thrilled with it either. He said, Take Isaac, your son, your only son, and get into the land of Moriah, which means the manifestation or the sight of Jehovah. We may have to go and do things that are not pleasant to us in order to see the manifestation of our covenant keeper. I know this isn't a jump and shout type thing, but listen, you can dust your shouter off pretty soon here. The land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I'll tell thee of. He didn't even tell him where he was going. So he said the next day they got up and went there 3 days. And then I love this. In verse 5, latter part of verse 5, he tells the young man, he says, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And at this point, Isaac was probably about 25 years old. We're not talking about a little kid. Okay? He was a young man. Well, Abraham said, took the wood, and Isaac said, he says, we have the wood, we have the fire, we have the knife. Where's the lamb? And prophetically, Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. Speaking prophetically of what was going to happen right then, and also through the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years later, or 1,500 years later, something like that. Ask Al, he'll figure it out. But something the Lord dropped in my heart, when, how did Isaac know what all was needed? Because they'd been there before. He had, Abraham had offered before, and Isaac had been there. He had trained him. They had worshiped together. Can you hear this? I and the lad will return. Where's the lamb? God will provide next few verses say that they built the altar, laid the wood out, and he bound Isaac to the altar. Now, my son is, of course, I'm not 100 years old. Well, at this point, he'd been about 125 years old. I'm not that old. But my son is 38. I don't know, unless he would voluntarily do it, that I could bind him to an altar. Okay? So there was faith instilled into Isaac, and he was literally laying his life down. But he had confidence that what the Lord had said about him, because at this point, he was childless. He wasn't even married at this point. But he said that through him, nations would, that seed would be as the sand of the sea, stars in the heaven. And so if that's going to happen, then I'm not going to be dead. God's going to do something. The knife is drawn, poised, and angel of the Lord says, do the child no harm. Now, if he had been a good Pentecostal, he would have said, get thee behind me, Satan. And there would have been the death of the seed. Because he was being religious instead of spiritual. We can kill God, what God wants to do, by being religious. Blessed be his holy name. He says, do the child no harm. And I've told you this before. When they were coming up one side of the mountain, the ram was coming up the other side. Just so happens, there was a ram caught in the thicket. Now, I don't know how the ram was caught, but my imagination is maybe by his horns. Now, I don't know about you, Al, but I don't think a ram would have a whole lot of trouble unsticking himself from a bush if he was caught by his horns. Toughest part of him, neck strong, you know, just pull himself. But it wasn't the bush, the thorn bush, that was holding him. It was the word of the Lord. Come here, ram. I need you. Over there, Abraham, is your provision. And Isaac said, amen. What does it say here? Verse 22:14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will seed or provide. And he says also, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Remember, Moriah is the manifestation of God or of Jehovah. He proved him. See that if he really believed him. But listen to this. In the angel of the Lord, verse 15, called on Abraham out of the heavens the second time, says, by myself have I sworn, Hebrews, writer Hebrews takes up and says, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Blessed be his name. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, and in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed shall be as the stars of the heaven and the sand upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. I have a question for myself. I'll let you listen. What blessings have I prohibited because I haven't been obedient? I just have these wild thoughts from time to time. Just because you're circumcised, as Ishmael was, does not mean that you're walking in covenant relationship. We can be blessed and multiplied, and that's how we measure spirituality. Well, I'm blessed. God's multiplying everything I'm doing. But only the people that the Lord will trust, the only people that the Lord will trust with kingdom authority, are those who walk in covenant obedience. We can be part of the household, but we won't be part of those that rule and reign with him. Where do you want to be? Blessed be his holy name. In Matthew 7, just I'm about to light for those who are concerned. I'm sorry, I don't know when I started, so that way I don't know when I'm going to end. No. But anyway, I'm about finished. In Matthew 7, it says this down in verse 20. King James says, wherefore by your fruits you shall know them, or fully know them. He's talked about having fruit from, you don't get olives from figs from thistles, or olives from thorns, and so forth. The Phillips translation says, so you may know the quality of men by what they produce. Verse 21 of the Williams translation says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who practice doing the will of the Father, of my Father in heaven. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Message says it this way, and I kind of kind of brings it up to modern words. It says, knowing the correct password fits right in with us, doesn't it? Knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. Just because we slap the name of Jesus on something doesn't mean we have relationship. Verse 23. Out of New Living Translation, on Judgment Day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name and performed many miracles in your name. 23 says, out of the Williams, and then I will say to them openly, I never knew you at all. Go away from me, you who practice doing wrong. I never knew you, King James. The word know there is genosko. And we know it as being knowledge by experience. But it's also a Jewish idiom for intimate relationship. I never had intimate relationship with you. Or you never had intimate relationship with me. Therefore, you were not changed in my presence. You took my gifts and ran. You took the anointing and used it for your exaltation and not for my glory. Your prophet, Jeremiah says, they run and prophesy, but I have not sent them. Please hear me. Let's not be so enamored with the gifts that we forget the giver. We don't have relationship with the giver. Your gifts are only validated by the proportion of time of intimacy with Him. Blessed be your name. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward their holy temple and praise your name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And I'll be honest, I've had a little problem reconciling that in my own little pointed head. But the New Living Translation says it this way, and it kind of helps me a little bit. With that last portion, it says, for your promises are backed up by the honor of your name. Now, that I can grab hold of. Your promises are backed up by all the honor of your name. Jesus, we love you. John 3 tells us that in order to see the kingdom of God, we must be born from above. Verse 5 and 6 say that except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We have to be born from above to even recognize the fact that there's a kingdom. God's rule. Because until then, we're the king. Well, we are. And even after we have been born from above, the kingdom may be a little hazy to us because we're still king. And you can be born of water and the Spirit, have to be in order to enter. But even with that, you can still be dual kings. Last time I checked, you can't have two kings. You can't have two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Because you'll love one and hate the other. I said all that to say this. Don't settle for where you are. Do not think that, oh, I'm spirit-filled, I'm baptized in water for remission of sins, I'm circumcised, I'm set. Then why does it keep on telling us time and time again to push on into maturity? To him that overcometh, all those seven promises. I know we've been going through over the Beatitudes, and just notice something. Maybe you've noticed a long time ago. But every beatitude starts with a statement and ends with a promise. Can you hear this? For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit. Statement. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Promise. do this, here's the result. There's no coasting in God. Press on to know the Lord. If you continue in the faith, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I don't find anything in the Word of God that says we can, there's a resting place for us except in him. Follow on to know the Lord. Everything is always action. Deeper and deeper in him. Ishmael had his daddy's name, but didn't have his daddy's nature. Didn't have his daddy's heart. Isaac learned his daddy's heart. I and the lad will go and return. To me, that says, Isaac said, I'm coming back. Even if I am sacrificed, I'm coming back. Have we gotten to the point in our lives that we can say, God said it, that settles it? Let's not just take his name and run with it. Let's learn of him. Walk with him. Walk in him. Abraham, walk habitually before me, and be thou complete, perfect, walking in integrity. Simplify and says, just be like me. Just be like me. Just do what I would do. Just walk in my nature, my desire, my heart.